Good evening, this is Rabbi Mayevsky. Tonight's shiur is, unfortunately, the parsha of Korach we have is a very unsavory parsha and very difficult, especially coming on the heels of Shalach, when so many people are literally put aside, so to speak, just to be nice. But the end result is so many people, and this is what we have in Bamidbar. But there's a saving grace over here. What I mean by that is very simply, we have B'nai Korach. And as it'll say in Pinchas when we lane it in a few weeks, U'B'nai Korach lo mesu, which is a very interesting thing. And it gets back to the whole idea we're beginning from the beginning of the story of Korach. And last week, we ended with the parasha of Tzitzis. The interesting thing about Tzitzis, just to mention a very quick Dvar Torah on from the Vilna Gaon, he says, they should make tzitzis on the four corners of their beged, ledorosam, for the generations, and put on them the psiltacheles. You have the blue thread in the middle that we know to be mekayim the mitzvah tzitzis. We need tcheles, the mitzvah that we lost, which is part of the Dvar Torah. What is the point of the word, the placement of the word ledorosam in reality should come at the very end of the pasuk, v'yasula em tzitzis al kanfei bigdehem, v'nasnu al apsil techeles ledorosam. That's the way the pasuk should normally be read, we would think. Why does the word ledorosam come in the middle of the pasuk after the mitzvah of putting tzitzis on four corners and then the part of Siltacheles comes later? And the answer that he says is very simply because while we still have the mitzvah of tzitzis, we have lost the mitzvah of tcheles. And of course, in his day, certainly in the 1700s, there wasn't any thought of tcheles at all. Today, we've pretty much seemingly solved the riddle of tcheles. But the fact is that we lost it for so many generations. And of course, a lot of people are of the opinion that once we lose it, there's no way. We need Mesorah passed down from generation to generation. And if we lost it for a few hundred years, it cannot be resurfaced in any way, shape, or form. Even though we want to do it, we can. But necessarily, once we lose the tradition, it cannot be resuscitated, so to speak. But nevertheless, that brings us to Korach because Chazal tell us that part of the machlokus with Korach was over tzitzis, beged shetchulot cheles. But the question that I wanted to ask particularly is, we know a lot of people, basically you're lucky enough to have a great relationship with your father. Korach was certainly one of the richest people who ever lived. He certainly was very charismatic, it would seem, and he had a great following. He was part of the Shevet Levi, which was now given to Kohuna. But he was dissatisfied with his role among Chal Yisrael. He saw Moshe and Aaron and Nadav and Avihu and all the other parts of the family, Elazar and Isamar, and he felt disenfranchised for the fact that he wasn't given a more difficult job. He felt like, you know, even though he should have been happy because he was one of the Nosei Aron. So, but that's not chopped liver. It's a very, very auspicious job, a very important job. But he felt the way he is, he thought so much of himself that in some way, even though he was carrying the Aron, he thought of himself, he was being given the job of a Shlepa. And he wasn't very pleased with that role in Klal Yisrael. He had illusions of grandeur in a greater way. He wasn't satisfied. But the point is that although he was given that very great honor of being one of the Nosei Aharon, his children, he must have had a great relationship with his children, certainly. But when it came right down to it, at the end, when Moshe goes around to Dasan Vaviram and asks Korach and Dasan Vaviram separately to please back off from what they wanted him to do. They questioned Moshe's authority that Moshe was making up. And Moshe kept saying, Kilo mi libi, this is nothing. I haven't said anything that wasn't directly from God. How could you believe that I'm not doing that? It's a very interesting thought process. They would think that they're on their father's side, and I basically could not think, with my relationship with my father, how I could think to go against him, certainly. It's just, you know, family matters. And it's very important to back him up. But we have to realize that we're going against Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the architect of so many things that had happened till now. They've been acquainted with Moshe now for at least a couple of years. And they can see the godless, the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And when Korach begins to get a little bit testy with Moshe Rabbeinu and not giving him the respect that one would expect a person to give to Moshe Rabbeinu, of somebody of that stature, that begins to be a chink in their armor of their father. But nevertheless, it's a very difficult, it's B'nai Korach between a rock and a hard place. And it would seem on the surface that how could they go against their father? And what was the point? Chazal tell us very simply that Korach saw the future. God let him see that Shmuel HaNavi would come from him. And how could it be possible that if Shmuel HaNavi emanates from my line of succession, I must be in the right over here, otherwise Shmuel HaNavi wouldn't be. And Chazal tell us that the reason that Shmuel HaNavi comes from him, perhaps it wasn't because, obviously it couldn't have been because of Korach himself, but because the death of Korach spurred Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. But on the serve, the whole Maisa, when the 250 people passed away with all the Korach, it caused them to do tshuva. But the reality is that's not what happened, because after the 250 people, Korach and Korach Vahadaso, by the way, they weren't a unified group, because, you know, if you learn in Pirkei Avos, it says Korach Vahadaso as opposed to other people, you know, like Hillel and Shammai was a machlokas that's L'shem Shamayim, and Korach Vahadaso was an example of machlokas. It doesn't say Korach with his enemies, it says Korach Vahadaso, because the truth of the matter, even Korach and even all his followers, they all had different agendas. They weren't all on the same page themselves either. So Korach was a split camp with Korach, because there was Reuven. They wanted the Bechorah. Korach wanted the Bechorah. But the question is, we have to ask ourselves, the way the parsha ended last week, not ended, but after the Maisa of the Meraglim, God, I mentioned last week, starts to give B'nai Israel all the mitzvos that they're going to have to be Mekayim with the Karbonos in Eretz Israel, as if to tell them that even though all of you people, all of the Meraglim, are no longer going to be with us, but don't think I'm going to destroy you. I made a promise to take you into the land of Israel. And while you yourselves are not going, but your children will go, the B'nai Israel will end up in Eretz Israel. But you are being put to death in the Midbar. Very disturbing here. And of course, the time for Korach to strike is now, because there's a lot of discord in Klal Yisrael. And they figured there's no point in doing and following in the rules, because if we're going to die in the Midbar, what's the point? And maybe we need a new leader, change things up. And B'nai Korach are conflicted, certainly, at this point in time, what they should do. But the fact is, after everybody finally is, you know, the Parach has Mate Aaron is proven, and Korach's children don't side with their father anymore. The truth of the matter is, as difficult as this is, the reason that B'nai Yisrael, we see in the parasha over here, how does the parasha after the Maisa of Korach ends? Once again, how does God give the nechama to Klal Yisrael? He gives them the nechama of saying that they're going to have all these karbonos in Eretz Yisrael. You may think you lose the kahuna, because a lion's portion of all the people that were causing the problem here were from Shevet Levi. In the time of the Egel, when it was all of Klal Yisrael that started up, and was certainly Shevet Reuven, we are told that the Bechorah was taken away from Shevet Reuven. They lost, Shevet Reuven lost everything because of their being involved in the Egel. So one would think now that possibly after the Maisa of Korach, that B'nai Levi will now lose the kahuna too. And how would it be? It would have to be to another tribe. We don't know. But nevertheless, perhaps that was what was on their mind. They would lose the kahuna too. And what God, after Moshe pleads for them, for the rest of Klal Yisrael, not to give, when it says, Vateyatzar HaMagefah, after so many thousands of Jews perish because of their insubordination, but the fact remains that the kahuna is not taken away from Levi. And how does God give them the nechama and tell us? It gives them to assure them of what their future holds. It's still a bright future for them, because I will not take it away from Shevet Levi, even though Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kohath ben Levi, even though he was the chink in the armor for Shevet Levi, they do not lose to Kahuna. But why would that be? So he's telling them, okay, when you get to the land of Israel, you're going to get the Matnas Kahuna, you're going to get Maaser Sheni, you're going to get all these things. And as it says, Barim Chemes Kalbon Limenu, V'nasati Lachem through Maschem, Kavagon Menagoren, and all these things that we're told that they're going to have to assure them that they don't lose it, that they don't lose the Matnas Kahuna. But one would ask the question, if Shevet Reuven lost the Bechora for the Maaser Egel, then maybe it should be the same punishment should be for Shevet Levi now. So who was the architect of really, even though Moshe prayed for them, but why should Shevet Levi not lose their status in Klal Yisrael, because they, so many of them, were anti-Moshe? And the reason is, since it was only, you have from Shevet Levi, it was Amram v'Yitzhar, Chevron v'Uziel, and it was only from B'nai Yitzhar, it was only one line, but that line was salvaged by the B'nai Korach, who B'nai Korach lo mesu. The fact that they went against their father is what that saved Shevet Levi now. It's very difficult to imagine to go against the grain, to look at your father and say, Daddy, I've had enough. And this is a very interesting thing. And I always looked at, I've perused Machzorim from different, from the Reform temples and conservative, I look through to see differences. And one thing that was very interesting that I noticed in even a Machzor in a conservative shul, if you look at the Oshamnu, before it says Oshamnu, Bogadnu, we know, we say, Aval Anachnu Vavosenu Chotanu, which is a very interesting phrase. But what I found interesting, I didn't notice it the first time, but years ago when I was going through the Machzor again, I noticed that it says, Avol Anachnu Chotanu. They leave out the word Avosenu. It's very interesting, because too many people have the idea that my father, he was a big tzaddik. He was the greatest tzaddik. I've heard people tell me things about their father, and it's not to say that they're not right about what they had. We all like to think our father was infallible, our father was great. It's a very difficult scenario to realize sometimes that a parent could make a mistake, but that's not the point. The point is, did they realize when they made a mistake that they did, and they had misgivings about it, and they tried to reform themselves? Everybody, nobody's perfect, even Moshe Rabbeinu, as we'll see next week. But the fact is, Avol Anachnu Vavosenu Chotanu, B'nai Korach took that line, took that sentence and understood it, that sometimes we have to stand up and realize that maybe Daddy isn't right, that maybe Avol Anachnu Vavosenu Chotanu, the strength of B'nai Korach to separate themselves from their father, when Moshe says, Hey Romu Mitochu Eidor Hazos V'achaleo Sam Karoga, they stood aside. They decided not to be the onlookers, turned their back on their father and walk away. They realized their father had turned their back. And that, the strength of what B'nai Korach was able to do in the face of their own father, we can't imagine the pressure that B'nai Korach had to endure from their father. Do you think it doesn't tell us? But Korach must have had tried to exert a lot of influence on his children. Come on, stand with me. And they walked away from him. They left Asir ve'Elkanah v'Avi Asaf, and they walked away from their father and said, "You've crossed the line." That Avol Anachnu v'Avoseinu Chatanu, and that saved the Kohuna for Shevet Levi. That's why I see it. Reuven lost the Bechora for the Maisa Egel, but Korach did not lose the Gedula for Shevet Levi because his children saved the Shevet because they had the fortitude, they had that gestalt to say to Daddy to recognize. And that's the one thing that we should all do when we see injustice, when we see something wrong, that somebody is crossing the line. Do we stand firm with the person who we think is somebody greater than us, or do we cross the line and go and understand that this is not, that Moshe Emes v'Toroso Emes, as we see that the Gemara, when it tells the story, that's what the sound that emanated from the Adas Korach, from the ground where the earth swallowed up. They were lost forever. But Korach's legacy lived on. He was at least zocher to have his children live on and have Shmuel HaNavi comes. We all have that capability of standing up in the face of problems that we have. We take a stand to make sure that we're on the right side. B'nai Korach, in my mind, were the greatest of all of these people, and that's why the Mizmor Livnei Korach Mizmor. We have about 10 Mizmorim in Tillim because God and Dovra Melech understood the godless of the children of Korach. That's one thing that because he was such a obviously stubborn person, but he brought up children to stand on their own two feet. And when they realized their father was wrong, they were willing to save the family tree by not following their father's footsteps. May we all be zocher to see the difference between right and wrong and walk on the righteous path. Thank you and have a good night.